Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shilpa Medicare Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Monish Shah, Head of Strategy and Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, and welcome to our Quarter 2 FY26 results conference call. Today, we are joined by Mr. Keshav Bhutada, Executive Director and CEO of Shilpa Pharma Life Sciences, and Mr. Alpesh Dalal, our CFO. Before we begin the call, please note that the financial results and the presentation have been uploaded on the stock exchanges. Note that this call has been recorded, and the transcript, along with the audio of the same, will be made available on the website of the company and the stock exchanges as well. I would like to remind you that today's discussion might include certain forward-looking statements based on current expectations and assumptions. These statements are subject to risk and uncertainties that could cause the actual results to differ materially. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. With that, I would like to hand the call over to Mr. Keshav for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Keshav.
Thanks, Monish. Hi everyone, very good morning. Current quarter marks a very big breakthrough for us. We recorded the highest quarterly EBITDA we have ever delivered in the company's history, and the excitement is not only to share another set of results, but to share the momentum, the confidence, and the direction that the company is focusing on ensuring better asset utilization. We are operating in some of the most advanced, complex, and high entry barrier segments, namely API, formulations, biologics, as an integrated one-stop solution. So I'll start briefing about each business segment. Let me start with the API business division. In API, mainly we had working in five main verticals: oncology, non-oncology, CDMO, peptides, and polymers. In oncology and non-oncology segment, the two NCE programs which we are developing for the Big Pharma U.S. customers, the first product our customer got approval, and the commercial supplies are expected to start from Q4 FY26. The second NCE program, where our partner is currently doing phase three clinical studies, and the clinical studies are ongoing, and they are expected to file in the next financial year. The third product, which is nilotinib, where we are supplying our differentiated API to a formulation, the quarterly volumes are increasing, and we are gaining market share every quarter on quarter. In the current quarter, we have successfully completed two new products filing in the U.S. and Europe, and we could also complete one new product PVs in the current quarter. Coming to non-oncology, tranexamic acid, where the volume is growing every quarter on quarter, and we are expected to achieve our full capacity in the current year. We are also planning to build additional 100 metric ton capacity, yearly capacity for this product, for which the CapEx investment has already started, and we are expected to commission this in the next financial year. The second product, ursodeoxycholic acid, where in last year we got CEP approval, and after that we have started seeding the product across various global export customers, and we are expecting to start commercial supplies in the exports from Q3 FY26. The third product, which is norursodeoxycholic acid, which is a first-of-its-kind product, where our API commercial supplies will start from Q3 FY26 and expected to contribute meaningfully in the next financial year. There is one more new product, which is completely import substitute, where the PV batches have started in the current quarter. Coming to CDMO, peptides, and polymers, we are having good traction in the CDMO business, with several programs advancing in various stages of development. The lanthanum deoxycarbonate, which is a product which we have developed for Unicycive Therapeutics, we are already building the dedicated facility, and we are planning to commission this block in Q3 FY26. And the commercial launch for this product is expected in next financial year. Coming to polymer, where we are doing commercial supplies to our US customer, and every quarter the volumes are increasing. And mainly semaglutide, which is a very important peptide, in which we have finished our all development activities and our planned PV batches are initiated. And we are planning to complete our PV campaign in Q4 FY26. And company is also investing a large dedicated peptide facility with fully advanced automation systems, and we are planning to commission this facility in next financial year. Overall, API business is expected to continue growth in double digit year on year. Now coming to formulation business division. Today I am happy to inform everyone that we have successfully launched our first NCE program in India, norsodeoxycholic acid. Globally, to bring this product to market, Shilpa Medicare is the only company to launch this product in India. The other three NDA products which were already approved in the last financial year, and the launches in US has already begun, and we are seeing that the among all the three products, Primitexed injection, the market share is increasing quarter on quarter, and the other two products, slowly we are seeing that there is a growing traction. And we are also planning to take norsodeoxycholic acid to the global market. Now coming to Europe market, where the nilotinib, which was launched in Europe in last financial year, every quarter the market share is continuing to grow, and even today we don't expect much generic competition for the current quarter. Coming to rotigotine transdermal patch, which is again a very complex transdermal patch, which in Europe we are expecting approval in Q4 FY26. And also company has successfully completed US clinical study, and we are planning submission in Q3 FY26. The two other transdermal patches which are already in the advanced stages of development, we are planning to file these products in next financial year. Coming to ondansetron long-acting injection, which is first of its kind, a long-acting injection for advanced patients with anti-emetic diseases, where the product phase 3 clinical studies are already completed, and we are planning to file this product in India in Q4 FY26 and plan to launch in next financial year. And we are having four more differentiated 505(b)(2) programs in different stages of development. NCE program OLC of Unicycil Therapeutics is expected to have approval in FY26. Coming to Shilpa Biologics, we have two new NBE programs, one with MapTree Biologics and second program with Alveolus, and both the programs are expected to enter phase 1 human studies in FY27. Our first ADC biosimilar, which our development work in lab is in the advanced stages, and we are planning to again enter this product in human studies in FY27. And totally as a pipeline, now we have 8 biosimilar programs which are in various stages of development, in which aflibercept is the most advanced program, which already the phase 3 studies are ongoing, and we are expecting to launch this product in FY26 once the clinical studies are successful. The second program, which is nivolumab, again which is a blockbuster product globally, the phase 1/3 human clinical trial in India, we are planning to start in Q4 FY26. And in our biologics division, totally we have 6 active CDMO programs which are in various stages of development. Now coming to recombinant human albumin, where we already have permission to start India clinical studies, and we are also planning to submit our IMPD submission in Europe for starting European phase 3 clinical study. And we are planning to start European phase 3 clinical studies in Q4 FY26. And product scale-up and filing in Europe for IMPD submission is on track. Overall, company continues to position itself as one of the advanced integrated API peptide polymer differentiated formulation and biologics and CDMO services company. and overall our financial results reflects discipline, innovation and resilience, and more importantly, it reflects the Shilpa of future, a stronger Shilpa, a more profitable Shilpa and a globally competitive Shilpa, which is defined by innovation, scientific depth and discipline to increase its asset utilization. With this, I hand over call to Monish Thakye. Thank you.
Thanks, Keshav. This is Alpesh Sadal here. Good morning, everyone. Let me briefly take you through our financial performance for the second quarter and the first half of FY26. As Keshav was mentioning a while back, we reported our highest ever revenues during this quarter at 372 crores, recording a growth of 7% year-on-year, whereas revenues for the half year were at 700 crores, reflecting a 8% growth. Our gross margin improved to 72% for the quarter and 74% for the first half. And this improvement in gross margin was seen despite our lower contribution coming in from CDMO and licensing business as compared to previous year. And thus thereby reflecting a strong margin in our base business driven by scale up in our share of complex product portfolio. Now, for the quarter, again, as was highlighted by Keshav, we recorded the highest ever EBITDA, for the company at 110 crores. We have crossed 100 crore, landmark for the first time in our history. And that was as compared to 91% in Q2 of FY25, showcasing a 21% growth. And the EBITDA for the first half was 208 crore, growing at 20% year on year. Now, with this strong top-line growth, the company also reported a strong EBITDA margin at 30%, both during the quarter as well as for the first half, reflecting a 4% and 3% year-on-year growth in the margins itself. So I think a lot of operating leverage is also kicking into the business. Now, with the increased market share in our base business products coupled with the introduction of novel products like, the recent launch that Keshav spoke about of NOR UDCA during the current quarter, we believe that this change in business mix should help sustain our profitability in the current quarters. And besides this, we also have a very strong pipeline of complex FDF products, which would be launched across various markets in the globe. We also continue to see reduction in our interest outgo year-on-year basis, and we believe that we have now stabilized at a current level, from a run rate perspective. And we also expect that most of our CapEx program would be funded through internal accruals. So more or less, the interest outgo should be at the current levels. The PAT for the quarter was 44 crores, and for the half year, it was at 91 crore. I'm happy to report that the PAT that we have achieved in the first half has already surpassed our full year PAT in FY25, which was at 78 crores. I would also like to draw your attention to the fact that, the ROCE profile of the company has been improving steadily. Our adjusted ROCE, excluding investments made in, our high growth potential biological and NBE business, has seen a significant improvement from 4% in FY23 to approximately 17% in the first half of FY26. Right? And with biologics business progressing well, we remain confident of improving our operating leverage driven by improved business mix and thus improving the overall ROCE in the coming years. Right? Now, a very quick highlight on the segmental performance. Our non-captive API business clocked a turnover of 205 crores and the growth was on account of uptake of key products from our newly expanded capacities. The formulation business for the quarter was 109 crores, growing at 16% year-on-year. And if we exclude the licensing income, the base business reported a robust growth of about 60% for the quarter compared to previous year, and a 67% growth in the first half of current financial year. Thus, the base business growth is driving our growth in the formulation business. And this growth was mainly driven by increase in the market share of our complex product portfolio in the US and limited competition product in the EU market. Likewise, you know, our biologics business has been growing well, and you know, it recorded a turnover of 25 crores and in Q2 and 61 crores in the first half of the current financial year. Moving on to the balance sheet items, the net debt at the end of September was 569 crores with capex investments of 153 crores during the first half of the financial year. With that brief introduction, I would now like to open the Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. As a reminder, to all the participants, please restrict yourself to two questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sukrit Deep Patil with Eyesight FinTrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning to the team. I have two forward-looking questions. My first question is, as pharma industry shifts towards more specialty drugs, oncology, you know, or global global partnerships, looking beyond the quarter number, how are you planning to position Shilpa to build a lasting edge, you know, beyond just quarterly growth or licensing deal, or is there any deeper plan of action that you are going to be putting into place, you know, that will keep the business strength strong? That's my first question. I'll ask my question after. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sukrit. I think which will, it's a very good question, and to give you a very clear answer, as a company, if you see our historical performance and our historical investments, right, we have always done investments in something which is more complex and specialty divisions. And Shilpa has done significant investments in biologics, in our transdermal facility, in our fermentation facility for albumin. So if you see what we will have, what we will be doing in next 3 to 5 years, whatever specialty divisions where we have invested, we will try to monetize all these investments. I think that's a simple formula which we will follow, because Shilpa has all the technical know-how, the complex pipeline in place, the R&D team is well positioned for such complex development. So only a focused strategic execution and monetization of asset is something which we will be focusing.
Thank you. My second question is to Mr. Dalal. Again, a forward-looking one, because you have given the current guidance. I just want to understand things. How will things go ahead? You know, when costs rise, whether it is raw material, compliance, or R&D investments, how do you make sure the margin stays steady without you know, slowing down growth? Is there any system you have built, like smarter sourcing, pricing discipline, or operational efficiencies? That will help you keep the profits in line, even when things sometimes get a bit out of control, or you don't have any, you know, certain crises may stand up in the coming days. Just want to hear your view on it. Thank you.
Yeah. So the point is, you know, it's a good question. The obviously, the business is marked with uncertainties at all points in time. What we end up doing is that we end up having a very agile and efficient, you know, system in place where we keep monitoring the changes happening in the marketplace and determining the actions required to offset some of those challenges that may come up. A lot of times, you know, we are able to, what we try to do is we try to predict the market situations. Say, for example, if we expect a particular raw material is likely to come up in short supply, which would end up increasing the cost of the material in the coming days, we might end up stocking up that particular material. We look at, you know, leveraging, building a lot of operating leverage of various businesses. As you would know that, you know, we are present in various businesses across various segments and all, and we try to cross-utilize a lot of, you know, our business intelligence from one to the other, Even on the operational side, what we do is some of our big cost items, we are constantly under our radar to ensure that, you know, we are looking at alternates which will, you know, allow us to reduce the cost, you know, and also allow us to complete our ESG related obligations simultaneously. So, you know, a case in, you know, an example could green energy related solutions where we try to bring the cost down as well as building more, you know, sustainability. And that's a constant exercise that we keep doing all the time.
Thank you for the guidance, and I wish the entire team best of luck for Q3.
Thank you, Sikri.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Krisha Kansara with Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Sir, thank you for giving me this opportunity to ask questions. And first of all, many congratulations on a very good set of numbers. My first question is regarding NOR-UDCS. Now that we have launched this in Indian market, my question is with respect to the potential of this product. I'm aware that we have tied up with 3 marketing companies and we are also going to launch our own brand. But I have 3 sub-questions to this topic. One, can we assume that our own brand will take some time to scale up and for at least next 2-3 years, a substantial amount of top line will come from the profit sharing arrangements which we have with our marketing partners? That is the first question. Second, what is the kind of market potential that this drug has? What kind of an opportunity are we looking at in terms of, let's say, top line or profitability when it comes to our books in the next 1-2 years? And also, if you can highlight, if you can throw some light on the competitive landscape of this drug. I know Shilpa is the first company to, you know, treat NAFLD with this drug. But in terms of the other existing treatments of this disease, where are we placed and what do we bring on the table to compete with the other players? And third part of the question is what kind of licensing income are we expecting from these 3 marketing arrangements that we have made? That is my question on NOR-UDCA. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Krisha. I think, see, the first question, I think, which I want to clarify is in NOR-UDCA, it is not about more a profit share arrangement. The arrangement is more with respect to supply price. Okay, so whatever we will see, the revenues which will be coming in the upcoming quarters, it will be mainly with respect to supply price. And second part, yes, we have a licensing income which already some part of it we have received and some part of it we will be getting it in the upcoming quarters. Mainly we have some milestones which are year on year which our marketing partners has to achieve. Once it is achieved, then we will get those milestones. But the most important part here is we are not expecting a big licensing income here. It will be more a sales revenue which we will be getting in the upcoming quarters when it comes to NOR-UDCA. And if you see whatever we have already given the press release also, the NOR-UDCA as a product, right, it's a very differentiated opportunity because especially the NAFLD patients, the amount of patients which are available in India for this disease are significantly high. And with respect to clinical adoption dynamics, if we just calculate that, we expect realistically at least we will get 10 to 20% of the treated NAFLD populations. We will be able to convert to NOR-UDCA. This is what is our estimate over next 3 to 5 years.
Right, right. So you're saying that you'll be able to capture 10 to 20% of the market share of current NAFLD treatment, correct?
Yes, this is what is our estimate, but as I previously also mentioned in our previous calls, right, Shilpa is launching such innovative NC, complete NC first time in India. So we will see, but we are partnered with one of the best companies in India who have very strong marketing presence in various doctors, in various specialty hospitals. So we expect it will not be like a very futuristic opportunity. We will surely see a numbers coming in. Maybe in the current Q3 and Q4, it will be just supplies. But from the next financial year, we surely expect sizable numbers from NOR-UDCA. This is what is our estimate.
Right. Okay. Understood. Sir, my second question is regarding the import alert. So we have been hearing from the market that, you know, USFDA is here for the final inspection at our Jagsela plant. So would you like to provide any update on that?
Yeah, Alpesh, you can take that.
I think as far as USFDA related matters, we would be updating the...
This is the operator. Sorry for interfering. Mr. Alpesh, your voice is breaking. Can you come in the range and talk?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Krisha, I was mentioning, as far as USFDA inspections are concerned, whenever, you know, we have any update to be provided to the markets, we will, you know, inform you guys. As of now, we don't have any update to be provided.
Okay, sure. I understand. And... one last bookkeeping question and then I can join back the queue. If you can provide the sales breakup of the API segment without including the captive consumption, just so that I can compare the numbers from previous quarters.
Yeah. You can get in touch with Manish and we'll provide you.
Sure, I will do that. Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Shubham Sehgal with SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, my first question was, so what has been the effect of US tariffs on our 505B2 portfolio, and have we experienced any market share loss in these products which we are supplying to the US?
Yeah, Shubham, I think it's a good question, but to give you clear clarity, right, which I have been mentioning in the previous calls also, all the 505B2 launches, right, which are critical for US market, we are launching from our third-party partner CMOs. So for especially all the 505B2 products which are getting launched or which will be getting launched, it will be all from a USFDA-approved third-party CMOs.
Okay, all right, got it. But so for our existing products, like have we faced any challenges?
No.
Okay, got it. My next question was, have we received a lower amount of licensing fees from me compared year on year?
No, Shubham, I think there is a confusion for you because there is no licensing income which we will be getting from Amneal currently because the product is already now in the commercial phase. So currently it is more a supply plus profit share what we get from Amneal.
Okay, but so is there any, I was just trying to understand, is there any specific reason you'd like to mention that I'm aware that licensing fees is, you know, like it will vary from quarter to quarter and year on year, but is there any specific reason that we saw a little lower licensing fees? Compared to last year?
No, there is no specific reason. It is just that many of our products which were in last year in more in the development phase have moved to the commercial phase. So you will see whatever income we were getting in licensing have moved to the commercial supply revenues. But more importantly, we have a similar strong pipeline which we have mentioned in our investor deck also. Which as and when, because it's not that every quarter we will license all of these products. So it will be some quarter we will license a high value product, some quarter we will license a low value product. So it will vary quarter on quarter because of this. There is no other reason.
Okay.
Yes, so as we have been mentioning in the past also, that, you know, the licensing income could be a bit lopsided depending on, you know, what stage the products are in. So that's not something that, you know, we keep comparing. So Shubham, as you know, we have explained in the past also that licensing income is something which is likely to be a bit lopsided depending on the stage at which various products are and the new deals that get signed. But as Keshav was mentioning, that we do have a strong pipeline wherein, you know, licensing income will continue to remain an important portion of our business going forward as well. But what we are seeing right now is that some of those initial licensing fees that we had received has started getting converted into a regular supply plus profit share business now.
Okay, understood. Got it. My next question was, so we had mentioned that we have partnered with around three companies for NOR-UDCA. Have we partnered with any more? Like, have we increased the number of partners there?
No, Shubham, what we feel is currently for this product and the kind of market opportunity and the patients and the hospitals where we have to reach, I think we have limited, because we don't want to have a lot of partners and then everyone is competing among ourselves. So it's more a strategic partnering what we have done for the product. And we feel with these number of partners, we will be able to get a decent market share.
Okay, understood. Just one clarification. So OLC, which we are supplying to Unicycle, are we expecting it to commercialize next financial year or by end of this financial year?
So as we have already mentioned, it will be next financial year, but this is purely anticipation, right? No one can give you a firm clarity on that. But based on our experience and current expertise, we feel it will be next financial year.
Okay, got it. Just last question and then I'll get back in the queue. Could you throw some color on our new peptide project, which we have supplied initial quantities to an MNC? Like, what kind of project is it? Like, could you provide just some, any color on this?
See, we will not be able to disclose more about project, but what I can tell you is it's a significant potential project which we have in peptide. And what Shilpa has been doing, if you see across last 3 to 5 year journey in peptides, we have invested in R&D. Today we have 2 manufacturing lines. Now we have invested in 3rd high capacity manufacturing line. And with the pipeline of GLP-1s like semaglutide, which we already have, and then with some mix of CDMO projects, we feel that peptide going forward will be also an important revenue driver for our API business.
Okay. But is this project, is this product apart from the other products that we are currently into and working towards?
Yeah, but the other program which you are mentioning, there the supplies initially what we have done is for the pilot quantities to our partner. And we are expecting the commercialization to happen in year 2027 for our partner.
Okay, understood. Thank you for the answer. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ankit Gupta with Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So, we've seen a, very healthy jump in the European formulation revenues during this first half. So, on a broader level, we have a very good portfolio on the formulation side. So, as a market, how do you see, European oncology injectable? What will be our strategy to, take it to a higher level of, revenue contributing, let's say, 300, 400 crore of annual revenues, anything you can share on that?
See, Europe, if we see, we have, as a company, we are developing both the generic, complex generic product as well as differentiated products. So today, major of our European revenue is coming from nilotinib, which is again a differentiated product which is launched in last year. And similarly, we have a range of around 3 to 5 products which are in pipeline, again which are complex generics. And next year, we expect again surely commercialization of at least one of them to happen, which is specialty complex generics. But we also have some other products which are me-too generics, but there is a less competition. So what I am trying to tell you is, in summary, going forward, European business is expected to grow continuously.
Sure. But as a market, how do you see, on oncology injectable side, how do you see the competitive intensity there? We also, hear about some shortages in the key markets of Europe happening for some of the products, like, in our portfolio also we have something like docetaxel, and also we keep hearing that. So if you can give your views on the competitive intensity there, especially on the oncology injectable side.
Yes, in Europe is a very competitive market. And here, if you just go with me-too generics, then there is a big competition and you cannot get market share. This is what is our experience. So in Europe, if we really want to grow and continue our revenue and market share increase, we will be focusing more on complex generics and differentiated early launch non-infringing formulations. So to tell you, yes, there are shortages in market, but there is a severe competition for me-too generics in European market. So our focus, because Shilpa's strength is we are end-to-end fully backward integrated, so we will, with the focus on complex generics and end-to-end forward and backward integration, we expect that we will be well positioned to get market share.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Abhishek.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Kiran D. from Table Tree Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations, Keshav and Shilpa team, for launch of our first NCE on Norvasc. Obviously, a great set of results as well. Couple of questions, Keshav. First question, we're saying the NCE, one project will commercialize in FY26, another project in FY27. I know you can't share client, but if you could share indications of this NCE molecule, at least for the launch of FY26, and market size of this molecule, any potential competition, just give some color on this, that'd be great.
Yeah, Kiran, I think I will not be able to disclose more on the indication, but what I can tell you is whatever formulation, sorry, the API which we are supplying to our partner, it's for an NCE program, so obviously there is no other competition. And the partner with whom, to whom we are supplying this product, they are again Big Pharma. So we can expect a sizable opportunity for Shilpa.
Okay. Okay, sure. Second question, Keshav, is, I mean, there's always this confusion. Total service income for the quarter is 72 crore, out of which is from the P&L, 46 crore in formulations, which is from the presentation. So this is delta 26 crore. Is it coming from API or a biosimilar biological? Second question is, service income, does it include profit sharing or it's just pure licensing of that 72 crore?
Yeah, so to answer your second question, the service income is purely a licensing income. There is no profit share in that. And the delta, what you were mentioning, I think Alpesh, you can explain that part.
Sorry, just what's the difference of 72?
Sir, can't hear you.
This is the operator. Sorry for interfering. Your voice is breaking. Can you come in the range and talk? Speaker, thank you.
Can you hear us now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. See, the thing is, when we have the overall licensing income, it is under in all the three business divisions. So there is income that is coming in biologics. There is business income that comes in, you know, our API business also, a small portion. And then there's licensing income coming in predominantly in our formulation business. So where exactly is the difference that you're finding?
Yeah, so 46 crore is from formulations. This is in the investor presentation, LPG, right? So your total service income in your P&L statement is 72 crore. So this is a delta of 26 crore. So is it coming from API or biologics biosimilar?
No, so 72 crores will also have some of the CDMO income coming in. It's all other operating income. It is not necessarily just the licensing income.
Okay. Okay, so service income includes CDMO development revenue plus licensing, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Got it, got it. So last clarification, Keshav, then we spent 165 crore capex in just H1. I mean, we also say in the investor presentation that large capacities are unutilized, maybe different business units, right? Maybe biosimilar biologics large capacities are unutilized. Where are we spending this 165 crore capex and what's the capex program for FY26 and 27?
Yeah, so I think one the capex for H1 has been 153 crore, not 165 crores. That's just one clarification. And then we do have, you know, as we have been mentioning, that we do have part of our albumin facility is still being put up and all. So certain capex is going there, and certain capacity-related, you know, capex we are doing in our API business, right? So those two are the major this thing. We also are looking at probably some small portions coming up in our formulation business, but some of them is maintenance CapEx, but the growth CapEx is predominantly into our albumin business as well as our API business.
So 26 and 27, what will be the CapEx number, Alpesh?
26, 27?
No, I think FY 26, what will be the CapEx? FY 27, what is the estimated CapEx?
Yeah, so for FY 26, we should be doing another about 75 to 100 crores from here on, right? And I think for FY 27, once we are through with this particular CapEx cycle, we'll update you a little later, say around Q4 or so.
Okay, sure. Thanks so much, Keshav. I appreciate it. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Sanjay Kumar with iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Keshav. First question on albumin. Recently, I think CDSCO, SEC has asked us to revise phase three protocol for albumin. I thought we already had one protocol since September 2024, which was approved in January 2025. Now we have another protocol dated July, and on which there's been a revision, another revision. So can you explain what's happening and why this latest revision? So how many more months will it take now? What is the delay from this revision?
No, Sanjay, I think there is a confusion. I'll tell you, in our SEC, we have two clinical studies for which we have put permission. One is for India, one more is for European clinical study, okay? So whatever this new protocol which we are talking, that is for Europe clinical study, where, as I clearly mentioned, the European clinical study, we are just submitted our recent protocol, and we have received comments, and same way we are also submitting in Europe, which we call it as a IMPD submission. Once that is done, then with the updated clinical study protocol, the approval and timeline is sometime in the Q3. So we are expecting to start our clinical study, phase three clinical study, in Q4 FY 26. So there is no delay. It's just the protocol. As you know, in any clinical study, when we submit any protocol for any other market, there will be feedback against which we have to just revise the protocol and take approval. So this is as planned, and we are planning to start, if everything goes well, in Q4 FY 26 clinical study.
So in CDRA NIC, we'll be registering two separate trials, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. And second question on peptides. Semaglutide, you are saying you'll be ready by Q4, and then once we file it by H1 FY 27, but by then, everyone would have launched or filed, right? So who are we developing this for? Given the pricing drop, does it still make sense to do it? And technical question, what process do we use to make Sema? Is it solid phase peptide synthesis, or do we use our recombinant method, or do we buy the P29 fragment like other companies and do the final two amino acid coupling?
So Sanjay, to explain you about peptides, right, what we are doing, yes, we are late in semaglutide, but what we have developed in India, what is the strategy which we have adopted is we are having both synthetic and semi-synthetic API, okay, Shilpa as a company. And our major sales will also go to our captive formulation because we are even developing the formulations for this. So with end-to-end backward integration on the process, we feel that we will be competitive, and given the size of the opportunity, what is available in semaglutide, we are not targeting like a 30% market or 50% market share, right? Even if some part of the big market share which is there in the product, if we are able to get it, and the only advantage what Shilpa will have obviously with other competitors is the kind of regulatory approvals what we will have in our facilities. So our interest is not only India market, many of the rest of the world markets where already we have partnered in some of the rest of the world markets. So overall for us, opportunity in semaglutide is it's our own formulation, end-to-end backward integration with global regulatory accreditations. We feel we will be also able to get some part of the market share. And coming to your second question, which is the technical of whether our process is semi-synthetic or synthetic, we are doing both and we are fully end-to-end integrated.
Okay. Okay. And extension on peptides, you said that you are planning a dedicated capacity. What will be the capacity you are planning and what will be the revenue potential? And given these are new modalities which are growing rapidly, do you want to keep doing the generic ones like desmopressin and others, or do you want to be a CDMO for innovators going forward? In fact, I think we have even listed one ARBM101, which I think is Methylobacter, and who their website states that they'll get into first in human trials in 2026. Are we still on that program?
Yes, we are still on that program, and that's in our biologics business, where they will be starting the phase 1 clinical study next financial year, for which we are already received the order also for the supply of this phase 1 material. Okay, that is first question. And yes, we as a company, see, generic products are always a cash flow for any company. And if we do generic products where there is a niche opportunity, not many people are there, I think there still there is an opportunity. This is what is our belief and experience. And the kind of capacity what we are building and all, we will be disclosing that in the upcoming quarters at right time to have competitiveness.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Okay. And on polymers, we have one customer for now, it looks like. And you seem to manufacture very uniform, high purity polymers, which I don't see a lot of CDMO or Indian companies have. So do you see this capability becoming another strategic pillar for us over the next 3-5 years? If you can comment on some of these projects, are these multi-year development programs or are these generic catalog products that we are planning? And how large can this polymer business become for us over, say, next 3 years?
See, to answer your question, yes, it is a very complex expertise which we have built over years. And yes, we have already not only single program, there are some other programs, but they are in early stages of development. And even we are supplying some polymer to even big pharma customers. Okay. So what is our plan in polymer in next 3 to 5 years is, yes, we expect this to also add a significant revenue in our overall API business. How much it will be and all, I think I will not be able to tell you today, but I can tell you, yes, it will be significant. And the kind of programs what we are running, we are confident that in the upcoming years, it will really grow.
Okay. And Wanda and Cetron, you've mentioned that the global size is 375 million. But can you give the, given that we'll be launching only in India first, what is the potential in India and what's the sort of competition for this product?
See, for Sanjay, for Ondansetron, one of the unique thing what we have done is developing a long-acting injection. And especially in the highly emetic patients, currently Ondansetron is a very well-known safe drug. But the only thing which no one has thought is to develop a long-acting injection, because usually when patients are in highly emetic conditions and they are with using paclitaxel and various other taxels, right? There are very high chances of people are suffering from highly anti-emetic conditions. And currently for this, there are competitive products like Palonosetron and all which are getting used. But being Ondansetron is such a safe drug, and making a long-acting injection of that and entering into a long-acting injectable anti-emetic patient space, I think that is something what we are targeting. How big it will be, it is too early for us to comment. But now since our phase 3 studies are completed and we will be submitting to Indian government, and then we are expecting approval in the upcoming quarters, now we have started slowly discussing with our partners. And we will be able to give you some more right picture in the upcoming quarters.
Thank you. Mr. Kumar, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Krisha Kansara with Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for giving me this follow-up opportunity. Sir, in this quarter, we reported a licensing income of 72 crores. If you can tell us how much of this was received from Orion Corporation for our albumin contract,
Krisha, we will not be able to provide client specific information. That's confidential.
Okay, sure. And sir, second question on the OLC contract. Now that Unicycle is planning to resubmit the data by this year end and it is confident of getting approval in the first half of next year. So can we assume that in the quarter two of FY27, we will start seeing the contribution from this contract in our books? And also because we are the exclusive supplier for them, our order book should be known to us beforehand only. So what kind of orders can we expect in the first year of launch?
So Krisha, I think on OLC opportunity, I think let me be very clear that today all the focus is on getting the product approval by our partner. And here the most important part is the submission of this new facility data. So I don't think we will get the approval in the first half of financial year. It will be more in the second half of next year financial. And yes, next year surely there will be a commercialization revenue if everything goes as planned. How much it will be and all, today our partner and even us are purely focusing on submitting this new site data and getting approval. And as I already mentioned, there is a dedicated block which we are building only for OLC. So once the commercial requirement comes, we are fully geared up for giving the supplies.
Okay, so you're saying that commercial revenues can come in the second half of 27 financial year?
Yes.
Okay. Just one last question. So previously we had indicated that adalimumab market has doubled with additional indications in place. So what kind of growth did we see in this quarter? And in the biologic segment, if you can give us the breakup in terms of how much came from adalimumab sales and how much was our CDMO revenue, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, coming to adalimumab, I think the kind of revenues which our partner is doing is not significant because India itself has the opportunity is not very big in adalimumab. But because we could launch with the high concentration and a differentiated product, we could get good market share. But mainly the important part for us to launch adalimumab was to give confidence and a message in the Indian market that Philpa is developing complex biosimilar and good products. And what we have seen even after launching so late adalimumab, we have got decent market share already covered, and the kind of numbers what we are getting is something we can send you later, but it is not significant, but it is like every quarter we have some run rate of this revenue.
Okay, and would it be possible for you to give the breakup of the biologics segment revenue, adalimumab versus let's say CDMO revenue?
Yeah, you can maybe contact Monisha and we'll send you that later. No problem.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes to the line of Kiran D with Table Tree Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. So I just have some quick clarification. So Norovca phase 3 trial for Europe and US, are we planning to kick off that in Q4 or will it be later, and is that market size as big as India? Because India has the highest number of MA field patients, so just wanted to get some clarity on that.
Yeah, Kiran, our global strategy is very unique in this product and we will be updating that in the right time to everyone to have some competitive advantage. But what I can tell you is Europe clinical studies we will be entering in next financial year.
Got it. Second is around androgenic alopecia. We completed phase 2, it's been more than 15 months. We have not started phase 3 yet. Any particular reason or we plan to start that soon?
Yeah, the reason was there were some additional preclinical studies which were asked to be done, which we have recently completed. And now we have applied for phase 3 clinical studies. And we will be starting our phase 3 clinical studies for this product again in first half of next financial year.
Got it. Last clarification, actually we have done phase 3 only for India, right? The US and Europe phase 3 will be later in FY27, if at all.
Yes.
Okay. And actually it's a big molecule compared to Adali cases in India?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to an end of question and answer session. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Alpesh Dalal for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you everyone for taking time to attend the call. We continue to remain excited about the path forward, and in case you have any queries or any of your questions have remained unanswered, please reach out to our IR team and we'll be happy to provide you the requested details. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Shilpa Medicare Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.